The Champions League semi-final lineup is complete. There was no famous night at Anfield for Liverpool as Real Madrid showed their class yet again.
And that's the final whistle. And it's Real Madrid once again who will progress to the semi-finals. A bridge too far for Liverpool. Stamford Bridge next for Real Madrid.
Whilst in Germany, Jude Bellingham gave Manchester City a fright.
Bellingham gets a second chance and finds the top corner of the Manchester City net. The Englishman strikes against the English.
But Pep Guardiola's side held their nerve to reach the semi-finals for only the second time after a come-from-behind win.
Ball played into Foden. He's got loads of time to look up and drive in the shot. It goes in off the post. And Phil Foden may well have settled this tie. City are heading for the semi-finals.
We'll analyse all of the action, plus we look ahead to the semi-finals on the official UEFA Champions League podcast. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott, and the quarterfinals are done and dusted. Real Madrid and Manchester City through on Wednesday to join Chelsea and Paris Saint-Germain in the last four of this season's competition. We're going to look back on a great night of football. I'm joined by commentators Richard Connolly and Mike Sewell, and we've got the former Chelsea, Arsenal, Juventus and England striker Leanne Sanderson with us as well. Leanne, you were watching Liverpool against Real Madrid. How did that finish 0-0?
Yeah, I still can't quite believe it. But when you look at the amount of possession that Real Madrid actually had, I wasn't aware that it was going to be 47% because I felt like Liverpool had a lot of the ball. But at the same time, it just goes to show you that when you're watching the game, sometimes it can be completely different to when you're out on the field. Sometimes when you watch the game back again, you see it from a different perspective because Real Madrid were brilliant. They really were defensively. You know, Militao, Nacho, you know, Toni Kroos didn't do... Liverpool did a really good job at stopping him from getting on the ball tonight. I thought Firmino dropped in there and took away his game a little bit, but they just have so much quality, Real Madrid, and they did always look like they were in control. And Liverpool threw everything at them. You know, they made so many substitutions, you know, Shaqiri, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Jota, like even substitutions that we didn't really expect him to potentially make, but they threw everything at them, and Real Madrid just always looked comfortable, to be fair.
No Rafael Varane, no Sergio Ramos, no problem for Real Madrid. Plenty more on that match to come, including now, because it's three-word match report time. Richard Connolly, you were watching the game at Anfield. How do you sum that one up in three games?
Well, simply put, I think Madrid resilience rewarded, because it was primarily a defensive effort, although they did strike the post through Karim Benzema midway through the first half. But a really strong, well-organised performance by a team with sufficient experience and sufficient strength in depth to know exactly the terms of the job and to get that job done. There was a certain physical challenge from Liverpool, but Madrid were resilient to that, gave a bit back through Casemiro on James Milner and eventually got the job done with something to spare. They're still a force.
They most certainly are. They're back in the semi-finals. Of course they are. Mike, so you're watching Dortmund against Manchester City, your three-word match report?
Semi-final citizens.
Ah, very nice. Manchester City are there. It's taken a while. First time under Pep Guardiola. Is this perhaps one of those landmark evenings we might just look back on in, a month's time, and who knows, a year or 2 years' time as well. We're going to look back on City's win at Dortmund in detail shortly, but let's start with Liverpool against Real Madrid at Anfield. The English side then trailed 3-1 after the first leg in Spain. Could they mount a comeback? Richard Connolly was your commentator.
And Liverpool looking to hit Mane, who's laid it off for Salah, and a save with the feet by Courtois inside the second minute as Liverpool broke quickly and Mane set up Salah. It was a good chance. Salah picking it up on the right, dribbling between men, finding Firmino. Firmino with one on to Milner. Milner on the edge, will shoot and forces a fine save. from Courtois, who clawed it out of the top corner. Benzema for Real Madrid. He's caught Nat Phillips in possession, and Benzema to the edge of the box. Now he holds it up. He beats Ozan Kabak. His deflected shot hits the post, and Liverpool will clear to the far side, and they've got away with one. Alexander-Arnold sprinting towards the edge of the box. Oh, he might get a second chance. He's pulled it back. Here's Wijnaldum, and he's put it over the top. And another big chance for Liverpool goes begging. The ball over the top's a test. Vinicius Junior might be in. Alisson just about got there once and then twice. Two terrific saves. I thought initially he was slow off his line, but my goodness, when he saw the chance to spring clear, he got there. And that's the final whistle. And it's Real Madrid once again who will progress to the semi-finals. A bridge too far for Liverpool. Stamford Bridge next for Real Madrid, who will face Chelsea in the semi-finals.
Yes, the 13-time winners are back in the last four, and you wouldn't back against them, making it 14 in Istanbul in, a couple of weeks' time now. Real Madrid, very, very impressive, and we can hear from one of their players, Thibaut Courtois, who wasn't perhaps as busy as he might have expected.
First half, we are really hard to find the possession, to play, to create something. It was hard, and they had a lot of chances, and I made some good saves, and also they missed some big opportunities, and in the end, it's just surviving. You know, second half, we knew we had to try to do more, but it was hard. Now we survived 0-0 and into the semi-final, so we know it wasn't the best game, but we come from two hard games, Liverpool at home, Barca at home, so yeah, sometimes a bad day can happen.
Well, Richard and Leanne join myself now. I just wondered, looking back at the game, and we probably thought at the time, Leanne, that chance for Mo Salah early on when Liverpool came out of the blocks like peak Jurgen Klopp team, had that gone in, do you think it could have been a very different outcome?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think with Mo Salah, you'd expect him to have put that away. He's in such fine form in the league. I think people forget, you know, he's second top goal scorer in the English Premier League. So yeah, he's been brilliant. And I think in that situation, so early on, you'd expect him to put it away. You know, yes, Courtois made himself very big. He's got his foot there. But I'd expect Salah to just slot that away. And I do think it would have been a different game, because I think Liverpool clearly had a game plan. You mentioned, you know, they came out on the front foot. They looked like they were really hungry and for the game and for the win. But I just can't quite get my head around it was 0-0.
I
think it was so exciting. I really do. And I think, yeah, they just look like the Liverpool of old. And it sounds, again, funny to say that, because they are the Premier League champions, reigning champions. But I just think Real Madrid had a lot of quality and they always looked assured.
There were two chances too, Chris, right at the end of the first half, or in the last 5 minutes of the first half. The first when Mane found Salah again, and he couldn't quite get it out from under his feet and sort of stabbed it up over the top corner. And then when Trent Alexander-Arnold kind of lost the ball and then found it again, he was able to find Wijnaldum in a really promising position, and he lifted his shot over the top as well. Again, either one of those goes in and they're only one goal away from going through, and the whole complexion of the tie changes. But you hear again with Thibaut Courtois saying, that's a bad day. Well, you know, you're holding yourself to really high standards when that's a bad day, because, you know, to all intents and purposes, they've ticked pretty much every box there to stop a determined Liverpool team from getting their way. I mean, they didn't play with full heavy metal thrash for the entire 90 minutes, but there were certainly indications of that old spark was flickering first 15 minutes, end of the first half. They huffed and puffed a bit more in the second half without creating something quite as clear-cut. But they'll still have optimism, I'm sure, Liverpool, of getting back into the Champions League via the league campaign. For Real Madrid, it's about potentially even winning a domestic championship and still in with a chance of yet another title here.
Yeah, won the Champions League, of course, under Zidane in 2016, in 2017 and in 2018. And are still the only team ever to retain their title in the Champions League era after Bayern were knocked out yesterday. Out in the last 16 in each of the last two seasons. But did we see again why you can never write Real Madrid off in this competition, Leanne?
Yeah, definitely. And I think obviously since Cristiano Ronaldo left, I think a lot of people wouldn't say lost interest in Real Madrid, but it's a massive player for them to have lost. So, but you forget they have Modric, they have Benzema, they have Toni Kroos, they have Casemiro. You know, the list goes on. Eden Hazard's injured, you know, yeah, he can't play. So there's a lot Ramos. They had so many injuries, but they just looked assured, as I said, you know, earlier, and they are still a top team. They're one of the best teams in the world, and, you know, it's going to be an exciting semi-final against Chelsea.
Certainly is. Richard Connolly, 21st of October, Real Madrid 2, Shakhtar 3, match day 1.
Yeah.
They were then 2-0 down away at Gladbach on match day 2.
Two in the last 4 minutes.
Yeah. Now, I mean, this is... It's pretty exceptional. It just goes to start. It's not how you start the season, it's how you finish it.
If you go back to the tapes of that night, I can't be certain, but somebody at that point in the immediate aftermath of that 2-2 draw away to Gladbach will have been saying, you know what, if they're still there in the springtime, you wouldn't rule them out.
Yeah.
And here they are. There's just too much know-how. Now, against Atalanta and now against Liverpool, they've played against two teams who thrive on playing high-octane football, who perhaps, given the demands of the season, have been unable to play it to their fullest potential.
Yeah.
They're going to come up against a Chelsea team that has been reinvigorated and is perhaps tactically more astute under Thomas Tuchel than it's ever been this season. So it could be a different type of game altogether. I suspect one that will be very, very tight with not a great deal between the two teams in either match. But when it's as tight as it will be, maybe their experience will count again. It's one of the best midfields in world football. We've said it repeatedly. I mean, it's probably the best over the last 6-7 years. They've been wonderful. But again, the strength in depth, particularly at centre-back, shone through.
Yeah, it did. Eder Militao and Nacho, both full internationals, but a lot of the talk before the first leg, even before the second leg, Liam, was about the fact that Ramos isn't there, Varane isn't there, Lucas Vazquez wasn't able to play in this second leg. So that's three of your first choice back four out. Yet they kept a clean sheet, and my word, they headed and kicked and blocked everything that Liverpool threw at them.
And that's what, you know, there's obviously going to be a lot of... Some players rise to the occasion, and I'm sure, you know, when you're constantly hearing about being a player that's filling in for another player, it's a little bit demoralising, but some players can thrive on that because I think they did themselves justice over both legs, and I think it made people almost not forget that a Sergio Ramos and a Varane isn't playing, but they did so well that people are not going to really ask them those questions. And it just goes to show you, when you have that strength in depth and players, you know, we speak about the midfield three, when you've got those types of players in front of you, anything is possible. And then also they provide that protection as well. So, you know, they are a fantastic team, and I think they showed that over the two legs. They can attack, they can defend, and even a game like, you know, tonight, they didn't even need to. Vinicius Junior was quite quiet in comparison to the first leg, but he didn't really need to do much because the game was already, they looked always comfortable.
There was a time. Yeah, sorry, Richard, go.
I was just going to say, can I mention the tackles?
Because
first half, I think that was part of the psychology of the night.
Yeah.
In the first minute, maybe, James Milner, who was captain of the night, age 35 for Liverpool, saw the chance to go through Karim Benzema, got the ball very cleanly, but certainly went through with such speed that he took a bit of Benzema as well, the opposing captain. Some 20 minutes later, that wasn't a foul, by the way, the referee waved play on. Benzema was certainly a bit hurt by it. But 20 minutes later, Casemiro saw the chance to put a tackle in on Milner by the touchline, didn't get anything of the ball, was late, but a hard challenge, got a yellow card for it. Milner, of course, got up, shook the hand, and there was nothing further in it, but it did speak of Real Madrid's resilience and their certainty that they would not be bowed by a physical challenge tonight.
And remember, they hit the post through Karim Benzema as well. Arguably, they came closest to scoring, actually, at Anfield. You mentioned Milner there. We can hear from him. Started as captain and was understandably disappointed after the full-time whistle.
And the reaction we showed after the first leg, and we have done enough tonight to go through. I believe that, you know, the chances we had. We were obviously the better team, and, you know, Ali's made a good save as well, which you're going to expect. But, you know, we did enough to win the game and do what we needed to do. But if you don't take your chances, and, you know, you only need that first one. If you get the first one in, then obviously it changes the game again. But you don't take your chances, and you're not going to go through.
That was the skipper. How about the coach? Here is Jurgen Klopp.
You always need these key moments. The performance in general was good. That was much better. So we didn't lose the tie tonight. We lost it definitely in Madrid. But even if we play there 0-0, we would probably now still play because we didn't score. And it was uncomfortable for Madrid. Definitely, we were good. We were aggressive. We played some really good stuff and had obviously massive chances in the beginning of the game. We didn't score, and so it got more and more difficult. And then with the experience of Real Madrid, they played it down, the time down. And so that's how it is.
Leanne, you were a striker. You won this competition. You scored a lot of goals. And we heard both from Klopp and from Milner there, disappointed not to finish the chances. But that's football, isn't it? Right? That is why putting the ball in the back of the net is the hardest thing. That's why strikers go for the most money. That's why arguably they're the most important players on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of defenders will question you with that one. But as a centre forward myself, you know, I think James Milner's correct. I think that you would be disappointed. I think they did do enough. I do think they do. But again, you know, that's why Real Madrid are one of the best teams in the world, because they probably felt like, you know, Courtois mentioned it was a matter of survival at some points for them. Whereas sometimes you might watch the game back and think they just looked assured. And I think Liverpool threw everything they could. I don't think the good thing that Liverpool can be proud of is I don't think they left anything in the changing room. You know, sometimes you look back on the game, you think, what could we have done or what could they have done? They couldn't have done any more apart from put the ball in the back of the net. You're right. That's why, you know, the centre forwards do go for the most money, but they have the firepower to do that.
They do. Not tonight for Liverpool, and Real Madrid through to their 8th Champions League semi-final in the last 10 years. Extraordinary. That was after 0 in the 7 seasons before that. So Real Madrid through. How about Manchester City and Borussia Dortmund? Well, they met in Germany. Dortmund trailed 2-1 from the first leg. Mike Sewell, watch this one.
Lays the ball to the edge of the area, the shot comes in, it's blocked. Bellingham gets a second chance and finds the top corner of the Manchester City net. The Englishman strikes against the English to draw Borussia Dortmund level in the tie. They lead 1-0 on the night, 2-2 on aggregate. Foden picks it up, clips the ball in. Oh, that looked like handball by Emre Can. It's a penalty for Manchester City. It clearly struck the upper arm of Emre Can. Mahrez has a glance up at Marvin Hitz in the Borussia Dortmund goal, and then left-footed shoots. Oh, and Hitz went the right way, but he went too low, and the ball rose above him into the corner of the net. It was well struck by Mahrez. Plenty of power. Manchester City draw level on the night. Dortmund 1, City 1, 3-2. City lead on aggregate. Ball played into Foden. He's got loads of time to look up and drive in the shot. It goes in off the post. And Phil Foden, who scored the late goal in Manchester in the first leg, may well have settled this tie in the second. City are heading for the semi-finals.
And Mike, we saw the celebration between Foden and Pep Guardiola and all of the City players when that second went in. This competition clearly means a massive amount to a club who have never won it. And there's been so many questions about whether they can get past the quarterfinal too.
Indeed. And it was almost as if that goal was a huge pressure release for Pep Guardiola in particular, given that this is his 5th season at Manchester City, and they'd gone out in the quarterfinals for the last 3 seasons. They went out in the round of 16 in his first season, and finally they get the monkey off their backs in terms of Guardiola, because obviously he's only won the Champions League. I say he's only won the Champions League with Barcelona, but he couldn't do it at Bayern München. Mm. Can he do it at City? I mean, he's certainly got the team that could win the Champions League this season. Although it wasn't plain sailing, especially in the first half when Bellingham scored that goal after 15 minutes. They defended really well as well, did Dortmund. They didn't have many opportunities themselves. Haaland was kept quiet once again like he was in the first leg. But City did have chances. They hit the bar. Mahrez was denied by a Bellingham slide. But in the second half, certainly when the penalty was awarded for the handball by Can, it all turned around fully in City's favour. And once the penalty was converted by Mahrez, you just felt like the belief had been sucked out of Borussia Dortmund. And I felt they tired for much of the second half, knowing that it was going to be difficult for them. They hadn't had many opportunities in front of goal. And eventually, Foden scored that excellent second goal to make sure they went through.
You mentioned Bellingham there. We can hear from him now. And the young Englishman, a teenager, remember, admits Dortmund were ultimately outplayed over the 2 legs.
You know, we've lost the tie. We've lost both games, you know, fair and square. You know, congratulations to them. They're the better side on both nights. I think with the ball, you know, just brilliant. So, yeah, I don't think you're ever going to celebrate pushing a team close, you know, but, yeah, we're proud of ourselves and what we gave to the two legs, but, yeah, we're not going to be going away jumping and smiling.
Jude Bellingham speaks as well as he plays. He is only 17. Remember, more on him in a moment. But here is his coach, Edin Terzic.
First of all, we have to congratulate Man City because they performed really well and they deserve to go to the next round and they also deserve to win the trophy with this quality. But in the end, it doesn't matter is it deserved or not. After three or four halves, we win in the next stage. So, of course, we are disappointed.
Well, no fairy tale for Terzic, who, of course, is in caretaker charge, really. He's leaving in the summer. Dortmund man. He would have loved to take them through to the semi-finals. We have to talk about Bellingham, Mike Sewell. Eighth youngest scorer ever in the Champions League. Second youngest ever in the knockout stages. And he doesn't turn 18 until June. Yet, I mean, here he is scoring a delightful goal against one of the best teams in Europe. And not just that, all season long, given this is his last match in the Champions League this season, all season long he's looked like he has belonged at such an elite level.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, he scored his first goal in the Bundesliga at the weekend against Stuttgart, and then he's topped that by scoring in the UEFA Champions League tonight. For much of that first half, he was heavily involved. I mentioned that he got the goal, stopped the Mahrez shot from going in. He got booked because he was constantly involved with battles in the midfield area. But he did go quiet in the second half. I don't know whether there was the fact that just City just really turned it up, really turned the screw in the second half and made it very hard for the Dortmund midfield to get any time on the ball. But in isolation, Bellingham as a player is a really good prospect. I mean, he's already in there for Borussia Dortmund. I mean, England manager Gareth Southgate must have been licking his lips after that first half, given the amount of young players that he's got at his disposal. Jadon Sancho was injured and couldn't play tonight. There's another player that Dortmund have, another English player who's been performing really well for the last couple of seasons. But, yeah, Bellingham, he looks very mature for a 17-year-old when it comes to playing on the pitch. And the way he took the goal, if anyone watches the goal, then they'll see how well he took it. Very composed. There was nothing anxious about the effort. He didn't take it too quickly. He took his time, but he knew what he was going to do, and he did it really quickly and very smoothly and made it very difficult for Edison to get to the ball. It was a good, certainly from a first half perspective, it was a very good performance against one of the best teams in Europe.
It certainly made City sweat. And talking of Southgate in England, Phil Foden, of course, comes up with a goal again. They have some talent at their disposal ahead of the UEFA European Championships in the summer. Let's hear from the City camp now. The former Dortmund man, Ilkay Gundogan, who was impressed by the way his former side played.
We know how tough this competition is every single year. The opponents you face, they are so difficult to play. Everyone has quality. And this Borussia Dortmund team has a lot of quality. And I've said it before, that on a good day, they are able to beat everyone. And in the first half, it looked like. But it's about staying in the game. It's about attitude. It's about personality, especially in that stage. And we proved ourselves, I think, today that we are ready to fight also in the semi-finals. Yeah.
So Riyad Mahrez with the penalty, Foden then ultimately with the second. Mike, I saw a stat. It was Mahrez's first Champions League goal for a while, 14 without one, which, given he's playing in a team that scores so many, slightly surprised me. And that penalty was a huge turning point, wasn't it, by the sounds of things?
It was, yeah. I mean, there was a bit of dispute from Dortmund. Emre Can was protesting his innocence, saying it struck his head before it went down onto his arm. I mean, it clearly struck his forearm. If it did strike his head, it was literally a glance. But even after a long VAR check, they decided to stick with the penalty. And then Mahrez, he hit it well, he struck it well, he sent it wide and hits guessed right, but just dived too low. Had he been able to dive a little higher, he might have got something on that. But in any way, once that ball went in, that you felt was going to make it extremely difficult for Dortmund. And then they didn't seem to pick up Phil Foden for the shot that he had. He had so much time from the corner when it was laid to him on the edge of the area, and he struck it viciously. Hits could have done better. He just got a bit of a glove on it to push it in off the post. But it's worth pointing out, actually, and we talked about this before the game with City, that they've crumbled a little bit at this stage of the UEFA Champions League in the past, making mistakes and not being particularly strong in their character. Well, before this game, they hadn't won any of their previous 10 games where they'd fallen behind, which is an interesting statistic from a team that so often go in front, but they always seem to have struggles coming back to win a game when they've gone behind. Well, tonight they showed they can do that. And as you said, right at the top of the programme, I think it was, they're still on for the quadruple. they're going to win the English Premier League. They're almost there. They're in the semi-finals of the FA Cup this week against another Champions League semi-finalist, Chelsea. So they're still on course for four trophies.
It's ridiculous, but there's every chance they might do it. What you said there has just made me think of a quote last year from Kevin De Bruyne when they were beaten by Lyon back in August. And De Bruyne said, very, you know, despondently really, different year, same stuff. Well, in 2021, that has not been the case for Manchester City. They are through. They've got over their quarterfinal hoodoo, if you like. Here's how the semi-finals look. Two massive ties. Paris Saint-Germain against Manchester City and Chelsea against Real Madrid. Let's preview them now. Leanne Sanderson, what a tie that is. Paris against City, both have spent big, let's be honest, to get to this stage. Neither has won the competition. That's going to be an absolutely belting tie, isn't it? And we saw it happen the last time Mauricio Pochettino came up against City in the Champions League. It was pretty good when Tottenham and City met in the knockout stages.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get much bigger than this, a semi-final Champions League, let alone Paris versus Manchester City. Two teams that I think are very similar in how their Champions League run has been. I think we've all expected a little bit more from both teams. And I think I was saying about now or never earlier. I know, you know, Manchester City are in the running to win the quadruple. I hope that they do it and I hope that they don't, because my team, Arsenal Women, were the only team to ever do it
okay.
in 2007. So
definitely hope
I hope
don't.
That,
right.
You know, and Pep actually mentioned it before, which was amazing. You know, they said to him, are you going to be the first team to ever do it? And he actually mentioned that we had won it. So that was really good from him. But back to the tie, I just think, you know, this one is going to be a massive game. And this is why the Champions League is amazing and one of the best competitions in the world, because you're not going to get a bigger game than that, especially with the amount of money that they've spent.
Leanne, I've just got to quickly mention, as you just informed me, and I should have known that, but you won four trophies in a season. As a squad then, when you get to this stage, how on earth, A, do you keep it together? And B, how do you go about winning four trophies?
I think it's the morale. And as you saw, you know, when Phil Foden scored that goal, how they ran over to Pep and they looked the cohesion. You know, that's why in 2007, you know, I know it's the women's game, but we won the quadruple because of our team chemistry and the morale. And that's what you need to have. Everybody was happy. And it's a hard thing to do to keep the squad happy, especially when you're not playing. But I think Pep is a fantastic manager. And you can see the cohesion that they have. And I think, obviously, you have to have quality as well. And the likes of Ruben Diaz and John Stones and how well they've done this year, you know, you've got all these attacking, free-flowing players, but defensively, they've been amazing. So, you know, how did we do it? Team cohesion, quality, and the right manager.
Last word on City comes from Pep Guardiola, the man hoping to join Arsenal and win four trophies in a season.
The second time you get the semi-final is not magistery in our club here, but we start to build it. And, we were brilliant, except the first 10 minutes that they were good. And the last 30 minutes in the second half, we were so good. So, yeah, incredible, happy to be in semi-final, the best four teams in Europe against big, strong teams. And we're going to try, arrive good, and try to play a good game.
So it's Paris against Manchester City in the semi-finals, Chelsea, Real Madrid. Leanne, last time I went to you, you suddenly threw in the fact you won four trophies. So what about this one? This is the first time they've ever met in the Champions League. Last met in the Super Cup in 1999. It's going to be a great tie, right?
As in the Real Madrid-Chelsea?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to that one, but I think that Chelsea are going to win that one.
Do you?
Yeah, I have a feeling.
OK, I'm going to put you on the spot now. Who's going to win this season's Champions League?
I'm going to go with Manchester City.
Okay.
I think now is the time.
Richard Connolly?
My instinct says Mbappe's year, Paris.
Yeah, very good point. And Mike Sewell?
All English final, City to win the trophy.
Oh, two of the panel have said Manchester City to finally lift this season's UEFA Champions League. Leanne, Mike and Richard, thank you very much for your company this evening. So City are through, Real Madrid are through. The semi-final lineup again, Paris against Manchester City, Chelsea against Real Madrid. The ties to be played, the first legs 27th and 28th of April, the second legs a week later, the 4th and 5th of April. May. That's it for the quarterfinals, though. It's been a brilliant 2 weeks here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. We'll be back on Tuesday, the 27th of April from 8 p.m. CEST for full coverage of the first night of semi-final action. You can listen, of course, on the Champions League app and UEFA.com for free wherever you are in the world. Don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every match night as well. Just search for Champions League on your podcast provider and we'll be there. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.